And I'm going to continue in my own words here to explain why it is that the Holy Ghost is the substantial love of the Father and the Son. You're listening to Reconquerors on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, and we are discussing in this episode number 278 of Reconquest, three considerations on the Holy Ghost. St. Thomas Aquinas explains why the generation of the Son is the first Trinitarian procession. So this is what he says about the procession of the Son from the Father. Divine processions must take place according to the immanent operations proper to a spiritual nature, immanent being meaning contained in the thing, as opposed to extrinsic to it. But the first operation of this kind is intellection, that is to say, an act of the intellect, right? So when you think, you're intellecting. Therefore, the first procession in God is by way of intellect, end quote from St. Thomas. From this, it flows logically that the second of the two processions will be of the will. Therefore, we proceed to treat of the spiration of the Holy Ghost, which is the volitional procession in the Holy Trinity. Okay, so in the Trinity, we have the procession of the Son from the Father. That's by way of generation, but it's also by way of intellection. He comes from the Father as his word, as his idea, as his thought. Huh? The Holy Ghost proceeds by way of love, as we've said. So that's volitional. What does that mean? Don't get tripped up on the big word. Volition applies to the word will. As intellection applies to intellect, thinking, reasoning, volition applies to the will. So there is this is a willing procession in the Trinity. It's a spiration, which is to say a breathing forth of another person. The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son as from one principle. The Athanasian Creed tells us this, quote, "The Holy Spirit is of the Father and the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding." So he's not a creature, he's not made, he's not created, he's not begotten, so he's not a son. The Holy Ghost is not the grandson of the Father, okay? There is only one Son in the Trinity, and that is the second person. And from the first and second person proceeds by way of spiration, by way of volition, by way of loving the third person. That the Holy Ghost proceeds in the Father and the Son is clear from Scripture. So this, of course, is a matter of controversy between the Catholic Church and the schismatic so-called Orthodox who refuse to accept that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. It's called the filioque because the words in Latin in the Creed for "and the Son" are filioque. So for this reason, we rely on the common opinion of such great theologians as St. Augustine and St. Thomas. They conclude that the Holy Spirit proceeds as the breath of love between the Father and the Son. Here's the Catechism of Trent indicating this volitional or willing nature of the procession. Quote, "The Holy Ghost proceeds from the divine will, inflamed, as it were, with love," end quote. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, as we've said, substantial charity or love in person. It is for this reason that those things which particularly manifest God's love for us, for instance, the incarnation of the Son, sanctification, the gifts that we get to perfect the virtues, these are all appropriated to the third person. Now, when I say appropriated to the third person, what does that mean? Well, the incarnation obviously involved all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you pay attention to the Annunciation scene as we get it in Luke chapter 1, you can identify all three persons in there. I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to break that down for you. But I invite you, nay, I challenge you, to pick up the Bible, to pick up the Gospels, and read Luke chapter 1, the Annunciation scene, and see if you can pick out the three persons of the Trinity in that scene. They're all at least implied in that scene. So we attribute these things, or we rather appropriate, that's the technical word used in theology, we appropriate the incarnation to the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's an act of God's love for us. It's a manifestation of God's love for us. And because it is, there's something fitting to appropriate to that one person that act of the incarnation. Sanctification, obviously, the Father sanctifies us, the Son sanctifies us, and the Holy Ghost sanctifies us. But one of the three persons is called the Sanctifier, and that's because it's an act of love. Sanctification, making us holy, as the Holy Ghost is substantially holy, making us holy is an act of love. So we attribute it to the third person. And the gifts of the Holy Ghost are called the gifts of the Holy Ghost because they are acts of love. They, as they come from God, they are acts of love. As they are in us, they are gifts that we receive. So these are all appropriated to the third person. It's also for this reason of the manifestation of God's love that we call the Holy Ghost both gift and kiss of love. These are traditional terms for the Holy Ghost. If I have time at the end of the show, I'll go a little bit into some of the different names of the Holy Ghost. Both of these titles, gift and kiss of love, are a manifestation of charity. Because the third person is called pneuma, in Greek, which we translate as spirit or spiritus in Latin, which means either the word in English spirit or breath or wind. The name of his personal procession is spiration, huh? Spiritus, spiration, spiratio is a Latin word. Among other magisterial texts, the Fourth Council of Lyon, which we will quote in a little bit, gave it this name of spiration. It should be noted that in this regard, the procession of the Holy Spirit is not a generation. The Athanasian Creed expressly teaches that only the Logos is begotten. He is, after all, called the only begotten of the Father. We can't say that the Holy Ghost is the begotten of the Father if God the Son is the only begotten. Therefore, it's not a generation, it's a spiration. So we had to come up with another distinct name, right? Spiration is good for that. That the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father is very clear from Scripture. Quote, "But when the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me." The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of the Father in multiple places in the New Testament. In the Gospels and the Epistles, and the Creed of the Council of Nicaea also explicitly affirms this procession. Now, it's also easy to infer from Scripture that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Son, is spirated by the Son. Why? Because he's called the Spirit of the Son, he's called the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, and similar names multiple times throughout the New Testament. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole controversy of the filioque, because that's kind of a tangent here. But I will refer you to some of the links that I have on reconquest.net where you will be able to see that kind of treated in an apologetical fashion in case you're wondering about what is this huge controversy between the Greeks and the Latins. And let me tell you, although it's provable, I mean, the Orthodox faith is provable, that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son, it's not the easiest reading in the world. These are very difficult things once you get really into the theology of it. At a simple level, the church's magisterial teaching should be sufficient for us, and there are biblical proofs, and there are certainly patristic proofs. But once you really get into the weeds of the theology, it gets a little bit mystifying. All right, so let's continue with our thought on this first point, that the Holy Ghost is the substantial love of the Father for the Son. So the Council of Florence speaks of the well, you know what? I'm not going to get into Florence because that's still on the Filioque. So everything that the Father has, everything that God the Father has, he communicates to his Son. But one thing that the Father has that he doesn't communicate to the Son is his paternity. If he communicated his paternity to the Son, then the Son would be the Father, right? I realize that that sounds like, on the one hand, it sounds too complicated. On the other hand, it sounds too simple. But everything that the Father has, he communicates to the Son except for being the Father. And we call that being the Father paternity. But it belongs to the Father that the Holy Spirit proceeds from him. And that's not his fatherhood. So the Father has communicated to the Son the procession of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, he also communicates that to the Son. Therefore, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. I realize that's a hard argument to wrap your head around. I will have it linked from the Reconquest.net page for this show, Reconquest.net page for this show. Another argument is, well, you know, I'm not going to get into, you know what, this is a simple argument for the Filioque, so I'll just present it here. And it actually has a lot to do with the main subject that we're addressing.